and then try to give you what God has given to us, okay? Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 21. And so went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and they passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said to him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Whereof is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and said, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. I want you to look back in verse number 24. And the Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day." I want to preach this morning on the thought, wrestling with God. Lord, I love you this morning, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here at the house of God. Lord, I'm glad for these folks that have made Sunday a part of their life. They've come out to the house of God once again this morning. And I pray that you'd help us today. God, I pray that you'd bless the word of God. Bless the preaching hour. Lord, if there's somebody here today, and Lord, they're wrestling with God about something, I pray for them most of all. I pray that today would be the day that they hang on and hold on and humble themselves to the Lord. God, help somebody, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen, you can be seated. The story of Jacob is familiar, no doubt, to most of us. Jacob, of course, is the descendant and the heir of the covenant that God had made to his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. As I thought about Jacob this week, I think I could say it rightfully this way. Jacob may have been, or probably was, the black sheep in the family. If you read the story of Jacob in Genesis chapter number 27, you know that Jacob, of course, traded his brother Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Now, while Esau made a bad deal, and I could preach all morning on the bad deal that Esau made a bad deal, but that shows us the deceptive power that Jacob had. We know not long after that, Jacob uses those same deceptive powers, and he tricks his father out of his brother's birthright. He takes it, of course, we know that Jacob lived a deceptive life, and this deceptive life had its drawbacks. He runs from his brother Esau because his brother is rightfully angry with him. Having stole his blessing and tricked him out of his birthright, he flees with fear. Jacob's life doesn't get any better. In the chapter prior to chapter 32, we see that Jacob is running one more time. He's running this time from his father-in-law, Laban. It's funny to me, I don't know, maybe be comical to you. I think it's funny to me that Jacob, two decades before chapter 32, is running from his brother Esau, and he runs into Laban and stays with him for 20 years. And now in chapter 32, he's running from Laban, and he's about to run into his brother Esau. Can I say it this way? I think you would agree with me here. It could be that Jacob's past is catching up with him. Amen. He's done a lot of running, and he's done a lot of scheming, and now his life is catching up with him. Jacob's past is on his trails, as we find him in chapter number 32. This time in Jacob's life, we can see the difference in faith and fear. We can see the difference in trusting God and scheming. We can see the difference in asking for God's help and sometimes not even know, acting like we even know God. But this is a crisis moment in the life of Jacob. According to Genesis chapter number 32, verse 9 through 12, Jacob begins to pray. In this prayer, Jacob does everything right. Jacob claims the promises of God over his life. He asks the Lord to protect him and save his family. He does everything right in the early part of this chapter. But in the early part of this chapter, his fear does not go away. Therefore, with fear in his heart, Jacob takes his family, and the Bible says they cross over the ford Jabbok. It is interesting that that word Jabbok, that ford, or that river Jabbok, that word Jabbok means to be poured out, or it means to wrestle. Little did Jacob know when he crossed over that ford Jabbok that that night he would wrestle with God himself. I wonder if there's somebody here that knows what it's like to wrestle with God. It could be that there's somebody here and you're at this very moment wrestling with God over something. I don't think that I would be stretching things to say that Jacob was going to wrestle God over a trial that had come up into his life. He was about to face his brother Esau, and this trial, this difficulty, this danger had him afraid. And because of the trials that life had brought him, he was wrestling with God. And certainly there are some of us that have had trials and difficulties in our life. We've wrestled with God over those things. I think I could say that Jacob was wrestling with God over some of his past mistakes. The reason he was afraid to meet Esau tomorrow was because he had done Esau wrong in the past. He had made some mistakes in the past. In fact, he was even running at this point in his life from Laban because some things and some decisions that he had made. And now he's going to have to answer to God and wrestle with God over some past mistakes that he had made. Boy, sometimes God brings things to our mind that we've done in the past. We've got to deal with God about those things. Maybe I could say it this way. Jacob was going to wrestle with God over something that God had planned for his future. Tomorrow he was going to meet Esau. His future was just ahead of him. And when he saw what the future held, it made him afraid. He was scared of what tomorrow would bring. He was scared of what tomorrow would mean. And because he was afraid of tomorrow, he was wrestling with God tonight. Some of us have wrestled with God. Whatever you're wrestling with God with this morning, I want to preach a message out of chapter 32. Show you three things out of the scriptures and we'll go eat lunch. I want to preach this morning on the thought wrestling with God. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see Jacob's fear. I want you to see Jacob's fear. Look at verse number 7. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two bands. You see, the reason that Jacob is crossing this brook that leads to a wrestling match with God is because of the fear that was in his heart. Jacob has been Jacob for many years, and it has finally come to the point in his life that Jacob has caught up with Jacob, and it has made him afraid. And the Bible says with great fear in his heart, he crosses over this brook. And this night, as he crosses the brook and he lays there all alone, he wrestles with God. But I can see the fear that is in Jacob's heart. I want you to notice this, letter A. I want you to notice his Bethel. It was Bethel, it was in Bethel that God appeared to Jacob for the very first time. You remember that when Jacob was out there once again all by himself in Bethel, and the Lord appeared to him and he showed him that ladder that went up into heaven. He saw angels going up and down. You remember that Bethel. That was the very first time that God had appeared to him and spoken to him. And now Jacob is trying his best to get back to that same place. The problem is that Jacob knew that in order to get to Bethel, he had to pass through Mount Seir. And it was in Mount Seir, according to Genesis chapter 33:16, that his brother Esau lived at. And Jacob was trying to get back to that place where God had spoken to him for the very first time. Jacob wanted to get back to that place where he knew God's blessings and God's presence was. Jacob was trying to get back to that place where he felt God and where he experienced God, where he felt the closeness of God. The problem was, is that if he was going to get to Bethel, he had to pass through Mount Seir. And Jacob now has fear in his heart because of what that means, because he knows that Esau lives there. You see, the problem was, is that there was something he was going to have to face in his life before he got to the place where he knew God was going to bless him. I believe that inside of every child of God should be a hunger and a thirst and a desire for God. It should be our desire to get to the place where we can hear the voice of God in our life. It should be that we have the desire to get to the place where we can feel the presence of God. We should have the desire to experience the blessings of God. But the reality is that sometimes in order for us to get to our Bethel, we've got to go through our Mount Seir. Sometimes if we're going to get to the place where we know God can bless us and we can feel God again, we may have to deal with some Esau's along the way. I don't know what your Esau is that's preventing you from getting to where God wants you to be. It could be that your Esau is an offended brother like his was. You know, the Bible teaches us that if we've got aught in our heart against our brother, we ought to lay our gift at the altar and go make that thing right and then come back and offer our sacrifice. Y'all remember that, right? You see, you can't be right with God and wrong with your brother. Amen. And we can come to church on Sunday morning, but if we've got aught in our heart against somebody else in the church or somebody in the family that shouldn't be there, we might want to make that thing right if we're really going to get into God's presence at church. Amen? It could be that there's some sin in our life that shouldn't be there. It could be that there's an Esau of sin or transgression in our heart. And if we want to get back to the place where God's blessing us again, we want to get back to the place where we can feel God's presence in our life again, it could be that we've got to face that Esau first and deal with that Esau first, because if we're going to get to Bethel, we got to deal with Esau. Amen. It could be that brother, it could be that sin, but it could be, and boy, if you've been here on Wednesday night, you know that I've dealt with this lately. It could be that God in His goodness and God in His wisdom brings a trial of affliction into our life, not for the purpose of harming us, but for the purpose of helping us. And God may bring something into our life that is a difficult season and a difficult hour so that He can bring us into His presence and so we can feel Him and sense Him like we've never felt Him before. It was in the fiery furnace that those three boys walked with God in the book of Daniel. You realize that, right? Had they not been placed in that fiery furnace, they never would have walked with that fourth man. And there are some times that God in His providential wisdom chooses for us to go through difficult hours and difficult seasons. And in those times and in those hours, God has that thing there, that Esau there, if you'll let me say it that way, that wrestling match there. He has that in our life so that we can experience His blessings and His presence and His goodness greater than we've ever experienced it before. And some of you will never get to Bethel because you're not willing to walk past Mount Seir. I see His Bethel. Not only do I see His Bethel, but I see His battle. Jacob's battle was not just a battle with Esau. I believe Jacob's greatest battle in chapter 32 is taking place inside of him. When I've read this chapter several times, when I read this chapter, I can almost see a struggle taking place inside of Jacob. Jacob was afraid that Esau would take his life, and he was afraid that Esau would take the life of his children. Jacob's past was closing in on him, and there was a battle that was taking place in his mind. You see, it wasn't just the battle with Esau, it was the battle with Jacob, and really it was the battle of what Jacob believed about God. Here we see him doing a wise thing. He sends messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau. But we also see him doing a very foolish thing, in that he did not trust God. If you read chapter 32, you will see that Jacob in chapter 31 has just witnessed God's protecting hand in his life. He's running from his father-in-law Laban, and Laban catches up to him. But God shows up and God helps him, and God delivers him from the hand of his father-in-law. But now, one more time, he's got the enemy, if you'll let me say it that way, catching up with him. He's got the adversary catching up with him. But instead of choosing to obey God and believe God, because he had just seen the hand of God in his life, instead he cowers to fear, and he sends word ahead, and he begins to say things like this. He begins to call Esau his master, and he begins to call himself Esau's servant. He had no business saying that. He should have just trusted God. And instead of just trusting God, he begins to cower down to the enemy. In fact, to make matters worse, he begins to send gifts to Esau. He should have just trusted God. He should have believed God. According to verse number 2, when Jacob is traveling, you watch this. According to verse number 2, Jacob gets to this place, and Jacob looks up and he sees a host in front of him. Do you see that in verse 2? You know what that host was? That was the host of the armies of God. He sees that other camp up there. That was God's camp. That was God's army. And he calls it, the name of that place two camps. He said, I've got my camp and I've got God's camp. He knew God was on his side. But yet when the messengers came back and said, Esau's coming and he's got 400 men with him, he cowered more to that fear than he believed with faith that God was going to take care of him. And then he started trusting more in his wealth than he started trusting in God as he sent those gifts. Do you see the battle taking place inside of Jacob? He knew God was with him. He saw that God was with him. But instead of believing God, he cowers down to his fear. A lady came up to D.L. Moody one time and said, I've found a wonderful verse to help me overcome fear. And she quoted Psalms 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I can give you a better promise, said Moody. And he quoted Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You see, instead of remembering the two camps that God had showed him in verse 2, Jacob divides his family into two camps because he's afraid of what the enemy's going to do. I see Jacob's fear. He's afraid. He's going through something, and it's brought him to this time in his life. I want you to notice this, number 2. Not only do I see Jacob's fear, but I see Jacob's faith. Jacob prayed in verse 9 through verse number 12, probably one of the greatest prayers in the Word of God. Yet it was prayed by a man whose faith was very weak. Jacob was like the man in Mark 9 that had that demon-possessed son, and he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Every aspect of Jacob's prayer was right. Every aspect of Jacob's prayer revealed that he had an intimate knowledge of God's ways and God's character. He mentions the great covenant that God had made with his grandfather Isaac. That same covenant was affirmed to his grandfather Abraham, and it was affirmed to his father Isaac, and that it had been given and passed on to him. He knew that he was in the will of God when he was returning from Laban and heading back to his home country. He even looked back over the past 20 years and he saw the hand of God in every aspect of his life. The problem was that Jacob's imagination gets ahead of Jacob's theology. as I think of Jacob's prayer, I can't help but think of the similarities in our lives. Any preacher would do well to encourage his congregation to pray like Jacob prayed. To pray for the goodness of God. Pray based on the will of God. To claim the covenants and the character of God. But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes the words coming out of our mouth just covers up the fear that's living inside of our heart. I want you to notice something. Jacob prayed one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. Yet it did not take his fear away. Jacob crosses this brook. And he divides his family in half. Sends one direction and one the other. And he's left there all alone. And this night, God appears to him. I want you to notice this in verse 26. I want you to notice that Jacob held on. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." While lying in the field, God appears to him. Isn't it interesting that God is whatever we need him to be? When God appeared to that pilgrim Abraham in Genesis chapter number 18, he appeared to him as a traveler. When he appeared to Joshua, that great general in Joshua chapter number 5, he appeared as a soldier. And now in Genesis 32, he appears to Jacob, the man that's been fighting his entire life. And he appears to him as a wrestler. While laying out in that field, Jacob is confronted by the angel of the Lord. Jacob had ran as far as Jacob could run, and now it was time for Jacob to face the Lord. The wrestling match that takes place in our text is familiar. We've heard many messages on it. According to the Bible, this wrestling match between Jacob and the angel of God takes place most of the night. There was something Jacob had to face in his future, and now Jacob is wrestling with God over it. There may be somebody here this morning and you know what it means to wrestle with God. Lord have mercy, I don't know if I'm helping anybody or not. But there could be somebody here and you know what it means to wrestle with God. Amen. Let me just say in passing that having a difficult time, a difficult season in your life and praying over something is not the same as wrestling with God. If you've ever wrestled with God, you know what I'm talking about. Jacob was praying in the first part of the chapter. He's not praying anymore. Now he's fighting. Now he's wrestling. I want you to notice something. At some point during the night, however, Jacob has been fighting. But at some point during the night, Jacob does something. He stops fighting and he just starts holding on. Do you see that? Because when the day breaks, the angel says, "Let me go." And he said, "I'm not going to let you go." Jacob was fighting with God at first. He was fighting with Laban. He was fighting with Esau. He was fighting with Jacob. But now he's not fighting anymore. He's just hanging on now. I wonder if Jacob at some point during the night realized that the one he was fighting with was the only one that was capable of helping him. And so he stopped fighting him and he just started holding on to him. Hey, there are times when we need to realize that that one we've been fighting with is the only one that's capable of helping us. And you need to stop fighting God and start just holding on to him. Amen. Stop fighting God and just hold on. I like that song that so many folks sing lately that says, "I just held on, not because I'm good and not because I'm great, not because I'm strong, but I held on." There are going to be times in your life, child of God, when things come that you do not understand. There are going to be things that you deal with that you thought you'd never have to deal with. There are going to be hours that you'll wonder if the sun will ever shine again in your life. And in those dark moments when it seems like a battle is taking place in your life, the best thing that you can do is just hold on to God. Hang on to Him. Just grab a hold of God and hang on. I see that Jacob held on. Do you see that? Not only do I see that Jacob held on, but I see that Jacob humbled himself. Verse 27, he said to him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." According to the text, Jacob holds on until the breaking of day. And when the sun begins to rise, the angel tells Jacob, "Let me go." But Jacob refuses to let the angel go until it blesses him. This is what Jacob had wanted his entire life, a blessing. He wanted that blessing that Esau had. He wanted that blessing that Laban had. He's wanted a blessing all his life. And he says, "I'm not letting you go until you bless me." And when he says, "I'm not letting go," the angel asked him a question. He said, "What is thy name?" Now, wait a minute. You think whatever you want to. In my opinion, this angel was a Christophany. This was probably a pre-incarnate Christ. Let's just say that it was an angel, though. Do you not think that if God had sent an angel to Jacob that night to wrestle with him, that that angel knew what his name was? He knew he got the right man when he started fighting this night. He knew this was Jacob. If he knew this was Jacob that he had been wrestling with, then why does the angel ask him this question? I believe that God knew who he was, but God wanted Jacob to admit who he was. As far as the Genesis record is concerned, Brother Eddie, the last time that Jacob was asked this question, he lied. The last time, according to the book of Genesis, he was asked, "Who are you?" It was by his father Isaac when he was stealing that blessing. And he said, "I'm Esau." He lied about it. And now God is fighting with him. And God says, "What is your name?" You see, in the Bible, a name carried a heavy meaning. And his name was Jacob. The trickster, the supplanter. And he lived up to that name every day of his life. The heel grabber. He was Jacob from before he came out of his mother's womb. As he grabbed onto his brother-in-law, or grabbed onto his brother, his heel. It was Jacob that traded that birthright. It was Jacob that stole that blessing. It was Jacob that had to run from his brother. It was Jacob that got tricked out of his wife. It was Jacob that tricked Laban over his cattle. It was Jacob that was hiding out, worried about tomorrow, this encounter. Everything in his past had brought him to this point, and everything he was going to face tomorrow, it was all because he was Jacob. This day a name meant something. And when he said, "What's your name?" and the answer came out of his mouth, "Jacob," I believe he was admitting to everything that he had ever done. He said, "Who are you?" He said, I'm the man that's lived up to my name. I'm Jacob." But watch this. What a humbling experience that must have been to admit who he was. But when he admitted who he was, what does the angel do? The angel says, "I'm not going to call you Jacob anymore, but your name's going to be Israel." In the Bible, a name meant something, but when a person changed their name in the Word of God, it meant that they were making a new beginning. He had to humble himself as Jacob, so God could bless him as Israel. Can I give you a couple pieces of advice? And I'm going to move on. you've been fighting with God over something, if there's something that, if there's something that you know that God maybe even has asked you to do, something about your future, or it could be there's something about your past that God's been dealing with you and you've been fighting with God over it, let me give you two pieces of advice. Number one, the best thing you can do is hold on to God. It is still interesting to me that when trials and tribulations come or when sin is brought to our attention, the first thing people do instinctively is they want to run away from God and run away from church. Lord, have mercy. If you've got difficulties in your life, you need church more than before you had those difficulties. If God brings sin up to your mind, you don't need to run from God because of it. You need to run to God because of it. Amen. Run to Him, not away from Him. Hang on. But let me give you another piece of advice. It could be that you need to humble yourself. There's been a wrestling match taking place in your home lately. There might have been a wrestling match taking place in your heart. And it could be that what God's waiting on for the blessing to come is for you to humble yourself. Because when we humble ourselves and we realize who we are, then and only then can we properly see who He is. I see Jacob's fear. I see Jacob's faith. I'm done with this. I see Jacob's finish. Look at verse number 28. He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." We all know the way that the story ends. God blesses Jacob and changes his name to Israel. The man that was a schemer, the man that was a trickster, is now a prince with God. I want you to notice something about his family. Look at verse 32. The Bible says, "Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank." Who was it that made sure not to eat that certain part of the thigh unto this day? Verse 32 says, verse 32 is a commentary after the fact. You get that, right? It's not part of the chapter. It's a commentary, just a little something so we understand that it's the children of Israel that have been doing this with their diet to honor that great ancestor, Jacob. It's interesting to me that when Jacob crossed over this brook and he separated his family into two camps, he did this because the fact that he feared Esau would take his life and take the life of his family. In fact, let's be honest, chapter 33 rolls around, he's still a little bit afraid. Y'all hide back here. You're my favorite wife and you're my favorite son. Y'all get back here and hide. I want them to kill you last. You got the chance to run. He's worried about what's going to happen with his family. But you know what happened when he humbled himself to God and he held on to God? God blessed his family. God protected his family. God took care of his family. It could be that you're afraid to humble yourself to God because of something. There's something you're worried about. Something that you're afraid that if you do it, God's not going to take care of. But can I say that when we give it to God and we give in to God, God takes care of that thing that we worry so much over. I see his family, but I see his future. If you read the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, when it's talking about those great men and women of faith, it talks about Jacob. The Bible says that Jacob leaned upon the top of that staff until the day he died. You see, if you ever get in a wrestling match with God and God gets you where He wants you, He'll touch your life in such a manner that it'll go with you until the day you die. He touched him. And Jacob hobbled away from that wrestling match. Well, can you imagine the way Jacob looked the next morning when he walked over that hill and he met his family? He was limping, probably had handfuls of hair pulled out, maybe a couple teeth missing. They said, "Jacob, what's the matter with you?" And he said, "God bless me. God bless me." And God touched him in such a manner that it stuck with him the rest of his life. And the man that always was looking for that blessing finally got touched by God. He started becoming a blessing. It's interesting when Jacob goes to Bethel for the very first time. There at Bethel, God appears to him. And you know what Jacob does? He sets up a pillar. And he says, "The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac appeared to me." In chapter 32, when he starts praying, notice the way he prays. He prays to the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. But when the encounter with God is over, he calls the name of the place Penuel. And he says, "For I have seen God face to face." It wasn't Abraham's God and Isaac's God anymore. It was now Jacob's God. And he never forgot that encounter. And God could be bringing you something so that He can touch an area of your life and change you to where you'll never be the same. I didn't preach long this morning, but I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed,